This is What the Tech, a podcast brought to you by ProServe IT. I'm happy to continue our series about AI, your co-pilot. In this episode, we'll explore how to make the most of your data with Copilot for Power BI. From learning the advantages of Copilot to following best practices for data cleaning, annotation, security, and privacy, we'll give you the information you need to use this powerful tool effectively. Keep listening to find out how you can improve your data analysis with Copilot for Power BI.
Yes. So what we're going to go through today is, and we're going to move us through it at pace here, but we're going to look at how you can fully harness your data for Copilot with Power BI. We're also, this is actually going to be more generalized about how you can harness your data with AI machine learning, which also plays into Copilot. And then we will have some links directly to advice from Microsoft on some strategies for your Power BI data sets as well. Quickly, we're going to run through the benefits of Power BI Copilot, and then we're going to go through those five key areas to prepare data for Power BI or other AI ML solutions and jump into a QA. That's me. Benefits for Copilot. Really, what I'm going to do here is walk you through a very quick, it's about 2-3 minute video to go through what Copilot and Power BI is, because probably not a lot of people have seen it yet because it is still in a tight preview.
Let's take a look at how Copilot and Power BI is empowering everyone to quickly find and share insights. For example, say I'm a sales analyst for a hotel and resorts company. Now, with Copilot and Power BI, I can simply describe the report I want to build and get insights in seconds. Maybe we need a new report to help us understand the profile of our customers, to gain insights into what is driving return visits to our properties. I just describe what I need, and Copilot will automatically analyze my data and create a new report based on my needs. Immediately, Copilot created a new Power BI report that is fully interactive, and I can start slicing and dicing my data to explore deeper. Copilot added the charts and slicers I requested, but also conveniently gives me options to adjust the output to get just what I'm looking for. For example, let's switch to ask for metrics and trends and a slightly different layout. Automatically, Copilot updates the report. Let's go ahead and keep this report page, but it goes much further. I can also ask analysis questions such as, what are the main drivers for repeat customer visits? Copilot responds by adding a new page to my report and uses Power BI's built-in advanced analysis capabilities for finding key influencers for variables in my data. Right away, I can see that customers who purchase spa visits are the most likely to be repeat visitors, followed by those who rented sports equipment. I can easily explore Power BI's key influencer visual further to learn more. I can even automatically see the most significant segments in my data just by clicking. Now let's go back to the first page and finish up our new report. I'm going to ask Copilot to make it look like our existing sales dashboard. Copilot automatically finds and references the dashboard to adjust my report with formatting and layout to match. Best of all, I can still interact directly with the Power BI report Copilot has created. For example, if I wanted to manually change this line chart to add the reason customers were visiting, it's easy to do with just a few clicks. Let's also change the line chart to a ribbon chart to make the data really stand out. Finally, to make the report even easier for my team to understand, I'm going to ask Copilot to add a rich text description of my data right inside the report. Narrative summary is fully dynamic, and not only does Copilot highlight interesting insights from my data, but it provides citations from where in the report the data was taken. This summary will update every time the data is refreshed, or people filter the report with new insights based on the data. And just like that, in seconds, I've created a report that would have taken hours or days to do manually. Copilot, built on top of Azure OpenAI, is truly revolutionary for how we empower everyone to find and share insights.
Now that you've seen what Copilot for Power BI can do, and again, here's some benefits of Copilot for Power BI, but now that you've seen what it can do, the next question is, that looks cool, but what do I need to do for Power BI Copilot to be able to do its thing in the most effective way possible? And there's a couple steps that I'm going to point us through to get us there. And so number one, the importance of data cleaning. So what is data cleaning? Really, it's detecting and correcting issues with your data. It's essential because without clean data, it's hard for these systems to provide accurate results. If you have a bunch of rows that have nulls sitting in them, the AI might not always know how it should handle those nulls. So being able to clean those up will make it easier for these systems to work properly. So that's going to build accuracy. With accuracy, you can build reliability and trust. Without accuracy, trust falls away very quickly in the reporting world, and you're left with a system that no one believes in and no one is ever going to use. And of course, with that accuracy comes the ability to do good decision making, and it saves money down the road. If you're cleaning your data up front, it's easier and cheaper typically to clean it up front than it is to clean it down the line. Some common data issues that we see: duplicate data, nulls, completely inaccurate data, incomplete data, data that has a bunch of fields and no one's filling in all of those fields, irrelevant data, data that is inconsistent, outdated, noise, just general straight up noise instead of the signal that you're looking for. And we've got some best practices for cleaning data. You're going to auditing, so checking and making sure that the data is clean. You can't just trust that it's always going to be clean. You need to go back and audit it. You need to plan on how you're going to build quality into your system. You need to understand how missing data is going to be handled. You need to know when, why duplicates are occurring, and how to remove them, and how to make sure that you're not removing things that look like duplicates. Again, back to auditing, you need to validate the accuracy. You need to have automated processes that can do this for you. There are systems out there. You know, most data governance systems have data automated data quality checks. So using some tooling to help you with that. Continuously monitoring your data. Again, back to that auditing and accuracy. Training your team on why this is important and how to do it. And again, if you find data inconsistencies when you're doing reporting and those inconsistencies are coming from your source system, it's best to train your team how to fix those in the source system. So if someone is not entering all of the contact information properly, going back and training them how to enter that contact information is going to save you time and money over trying to fix that down the pipe. And then having good documentation about what your data processing system is actually doing. Any questions on data cleaning before I jump to the next point? And Betty, if you can give me a hand, because I'm not able to see the team screen and PowerPoint at the same time.
No questions at this time.
Cool. Consistent naming conventions. This one is incredibly important. So really what you need to do here. So what are naming conventions? They're rules on how to name things. Tables, columns are the big ones in the data world. And really this is important because it provides consistency, because in the Power BI world, you're typically not going to be looking at one table of data and saying, hey, all the information I need is in this single table of data. There's typically going to be relationships between data sets, and there's going to be similarities in data sets across reports. And having that consistency across everything makes the AI systems more effective, and it makes your team, your business users, better able to understand what you're talking about here. And I would always say, try to find consistent naming conventions that make sense to your business users. With inconsistent, again, you're creating confusion both for your business users as well as the AI systems, which often leads to errors, which again results in that loss of trust, which is pretty much the death knell for any reporting initiative, is loss of trust. Examples of bad naming conventions. Sometimes it's easier to show the negative with an example here. So if you had sales in one data set and you had this, it was called revenue in another data set, often the AI systems won't necessarily be able to piece those two things together. And maybe in that situation, it could. But another situation, if you think about, hey, I've got product ID in one field and I've got prod ID in another table, the AI is never going to know that prod ID and product ID are the same thing and make that relationship for you and give you good insights based off of that. Again, making sure that you're not using special characters that AI systems have problems with. Microsoft is also specific to Power BI Copilot is pointing to spaces in names can often cause issues for AI systems. So having something product space ID can cause some issues, whereas using product underscore ID is probably better practices. And again, I'm going to share a link at the end to Microsoft's Power BI dataset best practices, and you'll see that recommendation right in there. Again, to that prod ID and product ID, avoiding abbreviations. You might understand the abbreviation, your business users might understand the abbreviation, the AI system may not. And it may be tricky for it to understand. There could be two abbreviations that mean the same thing in different contexts, and the AI just can't figure that out. Being careful with case sensitivity and watching out for reserved words. There's a number of these that you've got to be careful of. AI isn't as bad with these, but they still can cause some issues. So even a word like plan, in the SQL world, plan has a specific meaning. Whereas if you're in a home builder or something and you're talking about a plan for a house, it could get some systems will get confused thinking, hey, is this guy talking about a SQL plan here? What's going on? And these AI systems can be, that can happen to them. I'm going to assume I'm good to keep going. Yes, data annotation and relationships. I've bundled two somewhat separate things in here, although it's all about metadata, really. So what is data annotation? Data annotation is adding information to your data. So adding metadata to your data. And because we're talking about metadata here, I've also grouped in the relationships between tables and making sure those relationships are clearly defined. In Power BI, in a data set, they allow you to make a many-to-many relationship. AI systems do not like that at all. So you have to be very careful with those. You want to go one-to-many or many-to-one or one-to-one. Many-to-many is a problem, and it's going to break your AI systems pretty quickly. Power BI Copilot is going to have problems with that. And then adding additional information, data labels to your tables just provides more text, and you get more robust answers out of these things. And the best practices, again, having clear guidelines, having clear guidelines for how you annotate your data, your tables, and how you build your relationships, doing that quality control, making sure that you're adding in privacy and sensitivity labels, which are available through Microsoft Purview and Power BI, adding those labels in to let people know, hey, this is sensitive, this is not sensitive, and to block stuff that shouldn't be there. And then continually updating these and making sure you have a feedback loop in place for this stuff. Any questions on what we've gone through so far? Cool. I'll keep rolling. Data security and privacy. So this is really important stuff. The legal compliance issues. You see the European Union is starting to put new legal compliance rules in place for AI systems. I'm sure the US is following closely what's going on there, and they're starting, different states are starting to put out theirs. And then in Canada, I'm sure as Europe and the US line up on their legal compliance items, Canada is going to have theirs. So knowing what those are and making sure that you're in compliance with those is going to be very important. Making sure there, you could have malicious use, you could have biased outcomes. So making sure you understand how those can impact you. This is more a broader AI subject than Power BI for Copilot specifically. But again, this needs to be thought of as part of your overall AI ML roadmap and what's happening specifically with Copilot. So some of the risks, data breaches, what you will start to see more and more of as more of these large language model Copilot systems become become used in the public and external facing to customers, you're going to notice that these systems don't have a silver bullet to stop against all kinds of attacks. And one of those kinds of attacks is tricking these systems into giving out more information than they should. and doing that in a way that they're actually able to get your AI system to retrieve data it might not, you might not want it to retrieve, and return that data to people you might not want it to return it to. So you got to be very careful with what data are you feeding into these systems, and how, in worst case scenario, if that data got leaked out through an adversarial attack on that AI system, what does that mean to your company? And that needs to be thought of very early on. And again, it also plays into regulations. If you're not in compliance with regulations, what does that mean for you and stuff like that? And then the challenges here, why this is going to be very difficult, is the amount of data that's being generated now and the amount of data that companies are looking to process is huge. And it's very hard for data engineering and legal teams to properly classify that data to ensure that data is safe. And in the news this morning, they had Global Affairs Canada is now talking about a huge, massive data breach of all of their stuff. So all of this is happening quickly. This might be a broader data conversation than just AI, but AI adds to the complexity here. Again, regulatory changes, these things are going to change and shift every month for the next couple of years. And then making sure that there's data, if you have personally identifiable information, PII, making sure that you're properly anonymizing that data while maintaining the usability and functionality of that data, and doing it with the amount of data and at speed. All of this is going to be really difficult challenges. Best practices in the AI space for data. Number one, data minimization. That means provide as little data as possible to these AI systems to give the maximum impact. You might not want to give it a full 20 years of your financial data at its most granular level. Maybe you start by giving it aggregated financial data for the last couple of years to see, hey, how is this working? And then as you become more comfortable and as these systems get better protected, you can then provide more and more information. But data minimization is important. Role-based security. In the Power BI world, making sure that your row-level security is set up and people are assigned to the correct permission groups, that's going to be very important. As I spoke about earlier, anonymization. As we spoke about much earlier, auditing these things. You've got to keep auditing these things. You got to train your teams. You have to have an incident response plan. So when things go wrong, because they're going to go wrong at some point, how are you going to respond to that? And how fast can you respond to that? And then having usage policies in place, like you would a computer acceptable use policy. You're going to need data and AI acceptable use policies for your organizations. The last of these five major points we're going to cover today, and I know I've been moving at speed, so if you do have questions, let me know. Happy to stay on the line and answer questions for a little bit after too. So up-to-date data. So having fresh data is really important. Again, it provides relevance to the data. It provides accuracy. It gives you a competitive advantage. If you can surface insights from data that are within a few minutes of that data landing, you probably have a competitive advantage over a company that it takes them a week or a month to perform an analysis on their data. There's still room for analyzing month-old data and looking at what it says. There's also some competitive advantage to being able to do that faster. And a lot of users nowadays, they know what the data looks like in the source system. And if you're a day old or a week old or a month old, they're going to notice, and you could potentially lose that user trust again. The challenges here, really, it's how much data is moving now and being created now. It's the complexity of handling real-time pipelines. They are not easy, although they're are a lot of companies, including Microsoft, that are trying to make this as easy as possible. And it's going to continue to get easier to have that real-time data landing into a data warehouse, data lakehouse. So I would expect a lot more ease of use in that respect. But right now it is very tricky still. Quality control at speed is difficult. How do you maintain quality while processing real-time data? That's very tricky. The costs of doing that And then again, how are you applying those privacy and security rules to data at speed? That's another tricky one. The impact of outdated data, inaccurate, irrelevant insights leads to that loss of trust. How to keep your data current? What are some tips here? So making sure you have automated updates. You don't want to be manually refreshing data all the time. You want systems to be able to run these data pipelines for you. You want alerting. You need to know when a data pipeline fails so you can address it rapidly. You don't want to find out from your user, hey, this data is a month old or this data is 3 days old. What's going on? Being able to have automated data quality and audit checks. And then really important, again, is communicating with the users, making sure they understand, hey, for this report here, we only refresh the data once a week, or we only refresh the data once a day. So that way their expectations are lined up with what they're seeing. So that's the five key points for preparing your data. And I know this went real quick, but those are the five key points.
We appreciate you tuning in to another episode of What the Tech. We shared some key strategies for getting your data ready with Copilot for Power BI, helping you achieve your data-driven goals. In our next episode, we'll dive into the intriguing world of AI-powered cybersecurity. Don't miss out on more useful tips. See you next time, and keep discovering the potential of technology.